பகவான் ரமணாஸ் ஸ்ரீ அருணாச்சலப்பதிகம் வெர்ஸ் 2 எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ட் பை மைக்கேல் ஜேம்ஸ்.
During the celebrations of Bhagavan's Jayanti this year, I spoke about verse 1 of Arunachalapatikam, and now I'm going to talk about verse 2. There is a continuity between these verses. Firstly, there's a poetic continuity in that this Patikam and Ashtakam are what are called antadi. That is, the last word of one verse becomes the first word of the next verse. So the previous verse ended ambe, which is a vocative form of ambu, and this verse begins with ambu, which means love. That's the poetic continuity, but there's also a continuity in the ideas. In the previous verse, the principal prayer was for Arunachala to show his kakshi, unkakshi. Kakshi, in this context, means more or less the same as darshanam. So Bhagavan is praying for Arunachala to give his darshanam. But Arunachala is ever present in the physical form. So what the darshanam of Bhagavan is praying for is not just the physical darshanam of Arunachala. It is to see Arunachala as he actually is, Arunachala Swarupa, the true nature of Arunachala. As he sings in one of the verses of Akshamlai, Unjyoti Urukat, Katu Arunachala, show your form of light. Your light means the light of awareness. So Arunachala is that light of your being awareness, Satchit, but is ever shining in our heart as I. That is what Bhagavan is asking Arunachala to show. And Arunachala Swarupa is Atma Swarupa. So the real nature of Arunachala is the real nature of ourselves. So it's indirect. It's a prayer for seeing ourselves as we actually are, which is seeing Arunachala as he actually is. So that's the principal idea in the previous verse. The meaning of the previous verse, I'll just briefly read it, and then we'll read the meaning of this verse to get the continuity. In the previous verse, Bhagavan sang, if you, who by grace took charge of me, are not gracious, giving me sight of you, what will be my state if I leave this body, having pined and suffered intensely in the dark and miserable world? Without seeing the sun, will a lotus blossom? Being the sun to the sun, O love called the great Arana Hill, where grace surges as a spring, gushing forth abundantly. There's an implication here that is not expressed. That is, just like a lotus cannot blossom without seeing the sun, and since you are an actual of a sun to the sun, you're the original light that illumines the whole, the light of pure awareness that illumines the mind, enabling the mind to illumine the world. The implication is, just as the lotus will not blossom without seeing the sun, will my heart blossom without seeing you? So since Arunachala is the sun, it is the sun that is to blossom the lotus. So you have to show yourself to me so that my heart may blossom. So that was the prayer in the previous verse. In this verse, there is a continuity, because in order to see Arunachala as he actually is, we need all-consuming love. So long as we have even the least love or liking for anything other than our own real nature, which is the real nature of Arunachala, Arunachala will not show himself to us, because when he shows himself to us, that is the annihilation of ego. As Bhagavan says in verse 21 of Uludhunapattu, he defines what is seeing God or seeing oneself. He says, Unadal Khan, becoming food is seeing. The implication is, only we can see God or Arunachala or our own real nature only by being swallowed, only by losing ourselves completely in him. That alone is truly seeing him. So in order to see him, we need to be willing to lose ourselves completely in him. So the key to seeing him is love. So what Bhagavan is praying for in this second verse is that love we need in order to see Arunachala as he actually is. So I'll briefly read the overall meaning of the verse, and then I'll go discuss it in more detail. As I say, the previous verse ended with the word Ambe. He's addressing Arunachala. The previous verse ended with the Arunama Male Enam Ambe. Love called the great Aruna Hill. So he begins this verse with the word love. He addresses Arunachala as Amburu Varunachala. Arunachala, the form of love. So the meaning is, Arunachala, the form of love, having taken charge, implying having taken charge of me, is it befitting to ruin me, not granting love of you to me, who do not have love in which one melts, softening like wax in fire, thinking of you in the heart, who happiness produced in love, O satiating ambrosia welling up in the heart of devotees, what to say? Your will is my will. That is happiness for me, Lord of my soul. So that's the overall meaning. To go through it more closely, firstly, he addresses Arunachala as Amburu Varunachala. Arunachala, the form of love. That is, Arunachala is Ambu Swarupam. It is the very nature of Arunachala is love. Ambe Shivam, it is in Tamil, it's often said, Ambe Shivam, love alone is Shiva. Love is God. It's, I think even in the Bible or somewhere it said love is God. So love is the real nature of God. God is infinite love. Because why is God's love infinite? Because God is our own real nature. As Bhagavan says in Nana, Yathatamai Uludu Atmasarupa Mandre. What actually exists is only Atmasarupa. So nothing other than Atmasarupa actually exists. Atmasarupa means the real nature of ourself. So we, as we actually are alone what actually exists. So we are Ekam Eva Advaitiam, one only without a second. So, and what we actually are, that is Arunachala. That is what Bhagavan is addressing here as Arunachala. So Arunachala alone is what actually exists. So in the Arunachala and Bhagavan, of course, are one and the same. So in the view of Arunachala, there is nothing other than himself. So he sees us as, he doesn't see us as we see ourselves. We see ourselves as a person. He doesn't see us as a person. He sees us as we actually are. In other words, he sees us as himself. And because he sees us as himself, he loves us as himself. So Arunachala love is infinite because there's nothing other than him. So he has infinite love for himself. And whatever, in our view, is other than him or other than ourselves, is in his view nothing other than himself. So he loves everything as himself. So his love is infinite. So he's the very form of love. This term Amburu, this is a term that Bhagavan also uses in verse 101 of Akshramlai. There he uses it in a very beautiful way. That is what he sings in verse 101 is, Ambu vilalipol, amburu vunilene, ambai karetarul Arunachala. That is, be gracious, melting me as love in you, the form of love, like ice in water. So here, the Arunachala is the infinite ocean of love compared to the water of the ocean. Just like ice falling in the ocean will melt and dissolve in the ocean, Bhagavan's prayer is, melt me as love in you, the form of love. That is, ice is nothing other than water. It's just water in a solidified form. So our hard heart, worldly heart filled with worldly vasanas, is in essence nothing other than love, which is the nature of Arunachala. So by By merging in him, we will melt in him and we will become him. Like ice melting in water, melt me as love in you, the form of love. So here, Bhagavan uses the same term, amburu. Amburu means the form of love. Here he's in the verse 101, he says, amburu unil, in you, the form of love. And here in this verse, he says, amburu varunachala, arunachala, the form of love. So he's praying, what he's praying for in this verse is love. So he's praying to love for love, because Arunachala is, he's praying to Arunachala, who's the very, not even, we can't even say the embodiment of love. He's love itself. So Arunachala is love itself. So from where can we get the love that is required to turn within? Only from Arunachala, who is the source of all love. It is the nature of our self as ego to, as Bhagavan says in verse 25 of Uludhanavatu, the nature of ego is grasping form. Grasping form, it comes into existence. Grasping form, it stands. Grasping and feeding on forms, it flourishes abundantly. Leaving form, it grasps form. Such is the nature of ego. Form here means anything other than ourself, because our ego is, as Bhagavan says, it's a trapeyahande, it's a formless demon. So whatever forms ego grasps are things other than itself. So it is the very nature of ego to grasp things other than itself, to be attached to things other than itself, things that it takes, even this body and mind, this bundle of five sheaths that we take ourselves to be, this is something, it is not what we actually are. So it's something other than ourself in that sense. So we are grasping things other than ourself. That is the nature of ego. But in order to turn within and lose ourselves in Arunachala, we need love to grasp our own being, our own swarupa, our real nature. That love can come only from Arunachala, because as I say, the nature of ego is to love things other than itself, because it cannot survive without grasping things other than itself. So the love to grasp its own being, in other words, the love to grasp our own real nature, can come only from Arunachala. So that is why we have to pray to Arunachala for the love that is required in order to turn within. So all Bhagavan's teaching, Bhagavan in Arunachala Stuti Panchakam, Bhagavan is writing poetry in the language of love. But what he's talking about here is essentially the same that he's talking about in all his other works, in Nana, Uludhanavatu, Upadeshundia, Amavide, all his Upadesha works. The subject he's talking about there and the subject he's talking about here is exactly the same. But there in the Upadesha works, he teaches us what is the goal and how to attain that goal. But when it comes to actually applying this, when it comes to actually following the path that he has taught us in Nana and Uludhanavatu and Upadeshundia, in order to, when it comes to actually following this path, we come up against so many obstacles. All those obstacles ultimately boil down to our vishaya-vasanas, our inclination to cling to things other than ourselves. So verses of Arunachala Stuti Panchakam are guiding us how to tackle these vishaya-vasanas, this liking to go outwards. We need to have so much love to turn within. How to pray for that love, how to lose ourselves in that love is what Bhagavan is teaching us here. So he, as I say, he begins this verse addressing Arunachala as Amburu Varunacha, Arunachala, the form of love. And in the first sentence, he's indirectly praying for love. It's quite a long sentence, this first one. The main clause is the final clause, Enaku un ambine aruladu andu ene aritidal araho. Araho means, is it? Arahu means beauty. Araho is an interrogative form of that, so it means, is it beauty? In other words, is it befitting? Does it befit you? It is the implication, but the meaning is it beauty or is it befitting? Aritidil means ruining or damaging. In other words, spoiling or destroy. That is, if as Bhagavan prayed in the previous verse, if you don't give me sight of you, if you don't give me your Swarupa Darshanam, what will be my state if I leave this body? The only purpose of this life is to see ourselves as we actually are, which means seeing Arunachala as he actually is. If we don't, we are ruined. Unless we see ourselves as we actually are, we are living in a state of perpetual ruin. So is it befitting for Arunachala to allow us to remain in this state of ruin, is the implication. Is it befitting to ruin me? Actually, the way it's expressed in Tamil is enai arittidil araho, ruining me is ruining me befitting. That is how it's expressed in Tamil. But in order to, in English, the natural way of saying it, is it befitting to ruin me? How is Arunachala ruining us? Ambine Aruladu. Ambine Aruladu means Arul is a word in Tamil that's both a noun and a verb. As a noun, it means grace. As a verb, it means being gracious or giving or granting. So ambine araladu means, araladu is a negative adverbial participle, so it means not granting love. So if Arunachala doesn't grant us love, we are ruined. So is it befitting to ruin me, not granting love? What love? He says, unambine. Unambu means your love. But it also means love of you or love for you. So not granting love of you, Enoku, to me. But there's one other word, important word he has here, andu. Andu means taking charge or having taken charge. The same word Bhagavan used at the beginning of the previous verse. He began the previous verse, you who took charge of me by grace. This word anda, well, the root verb is al. Anda is an adjectival participle of it. Andu is an adverbial participle of it. But this verb al is a verb Bhagavan uses constantly in Akshram Raya and throughout Arunachala Stuti Panchakam. We can say it's the other side of a coin to surrender. It's our part is to surrender ourselves to him, to hand over charge of ourselves to him. His part is to take charge of us. So to the extent to which he takes charge of us, we surrender ourselves to him. And to the extent to which we surrender ourselves to him, he takes charge of us. There's no exact word in English for this verb al, but I generally translate it as take charge of, because it implies two sets of things. All it can mean to receive or accept as a protege, to take charge of, to rule, to reign over, to govern, to control, to manage, to maintain or cherish. So when I explain this word often, I explain it in this way. If a child is orphaned, some loving relative may take charge of that child. Take charge of a child means they take full responsibility for the child, to maintain and cherish the child, but also to bring up the child in a good manner. So they're taking control of the child, but taking control out of love. So this is what the verb al implies. It implies taking control of us, but also lovingly taking control of us. So I translate it as taking charge of us. So having taken charge, that Arunachala has taken charge of Bhagavan, is it befitting, having taken charge of him, not to grant him love, not to grant Bhagavan love for him, love for Arunachala? And that is the main idea in this first sentence. In Akshramlai, Bhagavan is singing in the barber of a in what in Christian terminology is called bridal mysticism. In Hinduism, it's sometimes called Nayaka, Nayaki Baba, or also it's called Mathura Baba, the attitude of a girl's love for her lord. So that's Arunachala is the lord, Bhagavan is the girl. So that is the Baba in which Bhagavan sings Akshramlai. That's a very powerful bhava, because the love between man and woman on a worldly level, it's such a powerful love. So that is used as an allegory for this love between the soul and God. God is the Lord, the soul is the girl who comes to offer herself to the Lord, and it's his responsibility to take charge of her. So if a man takes charge of a girl, but then doesn't marry her or doesn't consummate the marriage, is that befitting? Is that if he leaves that girl without ever consummating the marriage, she will be ruined because she can't go anywhere else. Once she's been taken, once if a man comes and elopes with his sweetheart, his beloved, and takes her away, but then doesn't marry her, doesn't consummate the marriage, she's ruined. She can't go and marry anyone else. And if he leaves her, as Bhagavan beautifully sings in Dramlai, Dari Kanyal Nala Nile Padatil, Nadiuk Kol Nalamaranachala. There's no use of a fruit that is overripe. When the fruit becomes overripe, it becomes rotten. So while the fruit is in a good condition, in a perfectly ripe condition, before it becomes overripe, that is the time to consume it. So now when I'm perfectly ripe, you should come and consume me. That is the implication of that verse. So it's a similar thing here. Is it befitting to let me go to waste, to ruin me by not giving me the love for you? Because unless you give me the all-consuming love for you, I will not surrender myself to you, and you will not take me as your own. So it's your responsibility to give me that all-consuming love for you. That is the implication here. So in Tamil, the order of words are different, but if you go according to the English order of words, Arunachala, the form of love, having taken charge of me, is it befitting to ruin me? To ruin me, not granting love of you to me. That's as far as we've come. But there's another clause here. He describes himself as Arahan Meruhai Ahatu Unei Nenendu Uruhum Ambu Ili. Ili means one who is devoid of. So me who he's praying to Arunachala to give love to me, who am devoid of love. What type of love? He describes it beautifully. Aral means fire. Merahu means wax. So like wax in fire, that implies melting like wax in fire. Ahatu, in the heart. Une is you. Ninetu, thinking of you in the heart. Nendu means softening. And uruhu means melting. So softening and melting, like wax softens and melt and melts in fire. Thinking of you, if we have the true love that is required to surrender ourselves completely to him, the mere thought of Arunachala should melt us. And he says, thinking of you, ahatu. Ahatu means in the heart. When Bhagavan talks about thinking in the heart, like for example, in the first verse of Akshramlai, Arunachala Mena, Ahame has two meanings. It can mean I alone, it can also mean in the heart. Ahame, Nine Pava, Ahate Vera Rupai Arunachala. Those who think of you in the heart. When he talks about thinking in the heart, why does he always stress this in the heart? Because we can, of course, interpret these at different levels. At a superficial level, thinking in the heart is thinking with love of Arunachala within our heart. But a deeper meaning, heart in the heart, there is actually no thought. As Bhagavan says it, for example, in the first Mangalam verse of Uludhunapattu, Ullaporul, Ullalara, Ullate, Ulladal. Since the sat vastu, the existing reality, the existing substance, exists in the heart without thought. So if in the heart itself, if we go into the very depth of the heart, there's no room for thought there, because there's no room for ego there. That is, only when we rise as ego does thought become possible. When we subside back into the heart, ego dissolves. And then there's no thought. So in the heart, there's no thought. So when Bhagavan talks about thinking of you in the heart, What does he mean by thinking of you? As he says in that first verse of Uludhunaptu, first Mangalam verse of Uludhunaptu, what is truly thinking of reality? It is Ullate, Ullapadi, Ullade, Ullal. That is, being in the heart as it is thinking. What he means by thinking is, that is, the true thinking of Arunachal truly is turning within and merging back into him. It's not thinking of Arunachal as another. So long as we think of Arunachal as another, we are separate from Arunachal. But our aim is to lose ourselves in Arunachal. So we need to give up thinking of him as another. We need to, as Bhagavan expresses it in verse 8 of Upadeshundia, Anya bhavatin avanaha mahum ananya bhava me undi para anetinum uttamam undi para. Anya bhava means thinking of Arunachal as, or thinking of God as something other than ourself. Anya means other. Ananya means not other. So rather than anya bhava, rather than thinking of God as something other than ourself, that is, thinking of him or meditating on him as not other, with the understanding, in avanaham means in which he is I. So with the understanding that Arunachal or God is I, thinking, that is, thinking of meditating on him is not other than ourself. In other words, meditating on ourself alone, meditating on nothing other than ourself, that is anetyanam uttamam. So what Bhagavan implies here when he talks of thinking of you is turning our attention within and merging back within. That is the true thinking of him in the heart. So if the mere thought of Arunachala should turn our, if we have true love for Arunachala, Bhagavan says in a later verse of Arunachapatikam, but the mere thought of Arunachala, what Arunachala does when he makes us think of him, and then he stills the outward-going activity, the chesed, the mischievous activity of the mind. He stills it, draws the mind inwards to face itself, to face Arunachal, who's shining in the heart as I, is the implication, and thereby makes it Achala like himself, makes it motionless like himself, and then he feeds upon us. So all these are implied here. If we have true love, the mere thought of Arunachal will turn our attention within, we'll merge back into the heart, and there we will melt like wax in fire. So the heart is compared here to fire. The heart means our own being, the fire of jnana, which is ever shining in our heart as our heart. That is the fire, but in which we must melt. So, but that requires all-consuming love. So that love is to be given by Arunachala. So Arunachala, the form of love, having taken charge of me is not there, but it's implied. Is it befitting to ruin me or let me go to ruin, not by not granting love of you to me, who do not have love in which one melts, softening like wax in fire, thinking of you in the heart? Here Bhagavan refers to himself as Ambu Ili Enaku, to me, the one who is devoid of love. There's a parallel here with a verse, I think it's verse 60 in Akshramlai. Nesamil enakun arse kartane mosanchaya darol Arunachala. Nesamil enakun, to me who is devoid of love, un arse kartane, you showed me love for you. You gave me a taste of what it is to have desire for you. Mosanchaya darol, be gracious, not cheating me. That is Arunachala. We are ordinary worldly people. We were wandering around in the world just like anyone else. But Arunachala, by his grace, he sowed the seed of love for him in our heart. He gave us a little bit of desire for his state of pure being. Having given us this desire, he shouldn't cheat us. So the very much the same sort of bhava is coming again and again in Akshramlai, that is, Bhagavan is constantly emphasizing the need for us to have all-consuming love. He's constantly emphasizing the fact that that love which we require can come only from Arunachala. It cannot come from, it's not the nature of ego to have. The nature of ego is to like to rise and go outwards. So the love to turn and subside back in the heart, that can come only from the heart, which is Arunachala. So these themes are coming again and again in so many ways. But so, as I say, the meaning of this first sentence is Arunachala, the form of love, having taken charge of me, is it befitting to ruin me, not granting love of you to me, who do not have love in which one melts, softening like wax in fire, thinking of you in the heart? That's the first sentence. Then the second sentence is there are two vocative clauses. The first one is Ambinil bileum imbame. He's addressing Arunachala here. Imbam is means love. Sorry, means happiness. Imbame is evocative. He's addressing Arunachala as happiness. What type of happiness is Arunachala? Ambinil bileum, the happiness produced in love, or the happiness bileum means what is produced or what is born, like a crop is it grows and it flourishes. And so just like a crop grows and flourishes in a field, true happiness grows and flourishes in love. So love is the source of happiness. In the first sentence of the first paragraph of Nana, where Bhagavan is explaining why it is necessary for us to know ourselves, he gives several arguments why we should understand that happiness is our own real nature. And in the third clause, he says, Priyataku sukame karanamadalalam. So he says there, since happiness alone is the cause of love. And here he's saying that happiness is born in love, but here he's implying the opposite, but love is the cause of happiness. So happiness is the cause of love, and love is the cause of happiness, because these two are inseparable. We all love whatever we believe will be conducive to our happiness. We love those things. Whatever will be detrimental to our happiness, we're averse to those things. So we like what will give us happiness. We dislike what will detract from our happiness. So happiness is the cause of love, and love is the cause of happiness. That is only out of true love that true happiness can arise, because our own real nature is infinite happiness and infinite love. So he addresses Arunachala as the happiness that is born of love. So Arunachala is not only Amburu Swarupam, is not only the very nature of love, he's also the very nature of happiness. Bhagavan directly addresses Arunachala here as happiness. So the happiness we are all seeking, that is Arunachala, that is Bhagavan. The very name Ramana itself, it comes from a root which means happiness. Ramana means the giver of happiness. So what can we say? So that's one vocative clause in this sentence. The next vocative clause is Amba ahatinil urum a amude. Amudam is a Tamil form of the Sanskrit word amrita, which means immortality. It also means ambrosia, the nectar of immortality. So he's addressing Arunachala as ambrosia, the nectar of immortality. And he describes it as a amude. A is a verb that means to become full, to pervade, to be satisfied, stay or endure. So the main meaning we can take here is satiating ambrosia. The ambrosia that will satiate us, that will satisfy all our desires. But it also means the infinite ambrosia, the ambrosia that will give us eternal immortality, not any transient immortality, but eternal, everlasting immortality. The reason I say transient immortality is often the gods are said to be immortal. The gods in heaven are said to be immortal. But in that context, immortality means they will live for the whole of the yuga. They will not die before the end of the yuga, but they come to an end at the end of the yuga along with everything else. So that is a temporary immortality. Arunachala is that eternal immortality, the all-pervading, omnipresent, everlasting immortality, enduring immortality. So Osaking Ambrosia, he describes it as Amba Ahatinil Urum, welling up in the heart of devotees. That is, when we turn our attention within and merge back within, what will well up in our heart, that is the nectar of immortality. So Arunachal is both the happiness, but is born of love, and the ambrosia that wells up in the heart of the devoted. The devotees here means those true devotees who give themselves wholly to him by turning within. This sentence is Ambanil Vileyam in O happiness produced in love. Amba Ahatanil Urum Aramude. O satiating ambrosia welling up in the heart of devotees. What to say? That is, he has in the previous sentence he says, does it befit you to leave me without to not give me the love for you, but for which I'm pining? And here he says, what if you don't give me this love? What am I to say? That is, you are the happiness produced of born of love. You're the satiating ambrosia welling up in the heart of your devotees. But if you don't give me that love, how can I experience that happiness? How can I experience you welling up in my heart? If you don't give me the love, I'm not a true devotee. So what can I say? It's all up to you. So in order to qualify ourselves for that all-consuming love that will enable us to turn within and surrender ourselves to him, what do we have to do? We have to surrender ourselves to him. We have to give up all our own likes and dislikes, give ourselves wholly to him. So in the next sentence, he sings, Ninittam Enittam. Ittam is here a Tamil form of the Sanskrit word ishtam. Ishtam means will, wish, desire, or liking. So, Ninishtam Enishtam. Your ishtam is my ishtam. In other words, your will is my will. That the implication is, I don't want anything except what you want for me. Whatever you want, that is what I want. I don't want any will of my own. I want to give my will entirely to you. And then he says in the next sentence, Imbu Adu Eku. That is happiness for me. Imbu means happiness. Adu means that. Eku means for me. So Ninishtam Enishtam. Your will is my will. Imbaraku. That is happiness for me. That is whatever you will. If you want to put me in hell, fine. I'm happy to go to hell because if that's your will that I should be in hell, I will be happy. There's no happier place for me than to be in hell. So that is whatever you wish, that is my wish. I have no wish of my own at all. So whatever you wish for me, that is happiness for me. In the life of Upaswamiga, one of the great Tamil Shaivite saints, there's a story that at one point he was put in a lime kiln. A lime kiln is thousands of degrees centigrade to bake the lime. He was put in a lime kiln, and when the lime kiln when the fire went out and the kiln was opened, he was sitting there. Upaswamiga was sitting there, and he sang a song, but under the in which he I don't know the verse in Tamil, but he's describing the music of the veena and the cool moon light of the moon or whatever. I can't remember the exact description, but he describes that being in that lime kiln was for him a blissful, cool state. Why? Because he's completely surrendered to God. Such surrender we need, such complete surrender. Whatever you wish for me, I will happily accept it because I have no wish of my own. Your wish is my wish. Your will is my will. So this is complete surrender. Why this is so important? Because surrender in ultimately, surrender can be complete only when we give ourselves completely to God. But in order to give ourselves completely to God, we first need to surrender our will to him. Because if we have a will of our own, if we have likes and dislikes of our own, how can we give ourselves to God? So an intrinsic part of the path of surrender is surrendering our will. In fact, we begin by doing our best to surrender our will to God. But of course, it's the nature of ego to have a will of its own. So we cannot surrender ourselves, our will, completely to God without surrendering ourselves to God. So ultimately, surrender is complete only with self-surrender, when we give ourselves wholly to God. But in order to give ourselves wholly to God, we need to be willing to give our will entirely to God, to give up all our own likes, dislikes, desires, attachments, hopes, fears. and to have no will at all except his will. Whatever be your will, that is happiness for me. So this is, Bhagavan is here very clearly tying love and surrender together. That is, in order to surrender ourselves completely, we need all-consuming love. But in order to have that love, we must be willing to surrender ourselves completely. So love and surrender are inseparable. True love is if we truly love someone, we are not seeking to gain anything from that person. If we truly love them, what can we do to make that person happy? So love is about not about taking, but about giving. And the ultimate gift to give is to give oneself wholly. So if we truly love Bhagavan, if we truly love Arunachala, we must be willing to give ourselves wholly to him. And in order to be willing to give ourselves wholly to him, first and foremost, we must be willing to give up our own will, to have no will of our own. His will alone is our will. Ninishtam enishtam, your will is my will. I have no other will except your will is the implication. And whatever be your will, that is happiness for me. Whether you put me in a lime kiln or put me in eternal damnation hell in hell, that's fine. That's happiness for me. Such must be the surrender. And then Bhagavan ends with another vocative clause addressing Arunachala, enwir ireye. En means my, weir means life or soul, ireye, O Lord, Lord of my soul or Lord of my life. That is, you're everything to me. You're the life of my life, the Lord of my soul. So whatever you will, that is my will. And that is happiness for me. So this is a verse of complete surrender. And without that complete surrender, how can we have that love, which is that all-consuming love? I mean, love and surrender are inseparable. We cannot have true love without surrendering ourselves. And we cannot surrender ourselves without having true love. Ultimately, love and surrender are one and the same thing. So that is very much emphasized by Bhagavan in this verse. So in the previous verse, he prayed to Arunachala to give his darshanam, to show himself as he actually is. But in order to see him as he actually is, we need to be willing to give ourselves entirely to him. Because until we give ourselves entirely to him, we cannot know him as he actually is. Because what he actually is what we actually are. So long as we rise as ego and remain separate from him, we cannot know him as he actually is. So in order to know him as he actually is, we must be willing to give ourselves wholly to him. So that is what this Arunachala Stuti Panchakam is all about, praying for that love and that willingness to surrender ourselves completely. So when we meditate upon the meaning of these verses, they're so deep and rich in meaning and I'm so full of love. Bhagavan, from this poetry, we get a small inkling of the all-consuming love that Bhagavan had for Arunachala. And that is the love that he is willing to give us if we are willing to give ourselves to him. So love is a state of perfect oneness. The goal of love is that we and Bhagavan become one when we lose ourselves completely in him. But so long as we experience ourselves as something separate from him, it's a love between, there seems to be two there. There seems to be him and us. Of course, he's our own real nature. He's what we actually are. But there's a seeming duality there. So long as we rise as ego, that ego is the root of all duality. But when we rise as ego, we seemingly separate ourselves from him. So then it's a love between two. And that love has to be, in love, it's a two-way traffic, so to speak. We have to give our love to him. He has to give us the love. But we require to give our love to him. So words really can't express the beauty of these verses and the depth and richness of meaning of them. I mean, who am I to talk about these the wealth of meaning and love contained in these verses? To really experience the love that Bhagavan is talking about in these verses, we need to turn our attention within, and like wax in fire, we need to melt entirely in him, the source of all love. What more can we say? Enpohulida, what to say, as he says so beautifully here, what to say? What can we say about Bhagavan's love? His love is infinite. Bhagavan and Arunachala are one. He has come into our life to give us his love, so we can experience his love to the extent to which we are willing to give ourselves to him. Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Arunachala Ramanaya.
வழந்தழுவாய் அகத்துணை நினைந்து நெந்துழுவும் அன்பிலீயனக்கும் அன்பினை அருளாது ஆண்டனை அழித்திடல் அழவோ அன்பினில் விளையும் இன்பமே அன்பு அகத்தினில் உருமாறமுதே என் புகழிடனின் இட்டமென் இட்டம் என்பதற்கென்னுயே